prayer and ask your continued interest in your prayers. I just didn't think I could preach with a mask on to where you could hear me. I marvel at Brother Jeff Winfrey with his speaking with a mask. I don't know where his microphone is, but anyway, we'll do the best we can. I want to take a text this evening from 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Peter, by the inspiration of the Spirit, is bringing this letter to a close. There's a lot of practical admonition here. A lot having to do with humility. You know, staying humble will help in a lot of ways, won't it? You know, Micah said, he has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require thee but to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. That one point right there, if we just remember humility, it'll help us a lot in this life. But he comes down to a warning after he speaks of humility in verse 6. Verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Verse 8 is really what I want to deal with. Verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because. Be sober, be vigilant, and he gives us a really good reason why we should remain such. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That word devour there means to swallow up. He'd like to swallow you up. This whole verse speaks a warning. It tells us we need to be careful. When he says to be sober, means to be thinking clearly and vigilant, being ready to act. Now, it's not hard for us to act in this world. And sometimes when we react, it's not in the right way. But if we're thinking like we should, and when we're mindful of what we need to do as a follower of Jesus, whatever our station is in this life and whatever our relationships are to others, if we're keeping that in mind, if we're realizing that if we're thinking clearly, we can respond to whatever comes against us in this life in the right way. Because when we don't respond in the right way, there's just all kinds of things that can happen that's not good. You know, he says, be sober. Now, that reminds me of what Paul said to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. that word drunk there means intoxicated. Intoxicated. I have a point here with this, but... Intoxicated means to lose control of faculties or your behavior. In other words, you're not thinking clearly. You've lost control, all right? And to be intoxicated, you don't have that control, okay? Listen, you know this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. the Word of God is not intoxicating. Not in that sense of losing control of your thinking and your behavior. All right? It's the things of this world that cause us to forget about the things of God. It's the things of this world that choke out. Remember the parable in Matthew 13, the sower and the seed? Or some of us like to call it the seed and the soils, the heart. The cares and the pleasures and the riches of this world choke out the effect of God's word. When that happens, we're not acting like we should. We're acting either by the flesh or responding to whatever's happening around about us. So Peter says it's necessary. If we're going to walk before God in a way that's pleasing in his sight, if we're going to walk among ourselves and be the kind of disciple of our Lord and Savior that we should be, we need to be thinking clearly and vigilant, ready to act. Now, the Word of God, I said, is not intoxicating in the sense of separating us from our good thinking and so forth. As a matter of fact, it's the Word of God that we need more than anything else to keep us sober, to keep us thinking clearly like we should. It's the Word of God that's what is what's going to keep us in that way. And the Spirit of God, as we're trying to walk in the Spirit is what's going to help us with the clear thinking. Matter of fact, it's even going to enable us to have some boldness in this life as we face situations, thinking clearly and ready to act. So with the Word of God, with the Spirit of God, we've got the help that we need. In the next verse, he talks about when he says, your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour, whom to resist, he says, steadfast in the faith. All right? If we're not thinking clearly, we're not going to be doing that, are we? We're going to be thinking about other things. We're going to be putting our energy and our mind and our heart toward other things instead of the things that would be pleasing to the Lord. So we need to be thinking clearly. We need to be proactive or vigilant about the things of God so that we can be ready to do and respond in a way that's pleasing in his sight, doing that which is right in the sight of God. Now, I want to take that thought and look at that how, from a perspective of how that's the safest thing we can do. It's for our safety. All right? He said, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. Let's don't discount the peril. We understand greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And I like to pair with this verse of scripture, 2 Chronicles 16:9, where it says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. So we've got all the help we need if we're thinking clearly, if we're looking to the Lord for the help, if we're trusting that I'm no match for the devil, but Lord, you can handle it. And I trust in your power to help me in whatever I need. But aren't we so prone to try to go with our own strength? Aren't we so prone to be lifted up in ourselves and think, I can handle this? You know, like I said, Peter's already talked about being humble, humility, how needful that is. Paul, in writing to the church at Rome, in Romans chapter 12, he talks about how that we're not to think not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, but to think what? Soberly. But boy, we have that tendency to want to think more highly of ourselves and our abilities instead of trusting the Lord. And that's where we get into trouble, isn't it? Trying to trust in ourselves instead of trusting in the Lord. Well, see, that has an impact. If we are not thinking like we should, and so we don't act like we should, or we don't respond to what's going on like we should, then we potentially will be a stumbling block for others. So not only is it for ourselves, but it's for those we love, to help them to be strong. You know, I want to be a good example, don't you? I want to be a help to someone. I sure don't want to be a stumbling block. Life's hard enough by itself without adding to the burdens that we have. So we don't want to be a stumbling block. So this is the safest way to be. The wisdom of God is telling us this is the best way to live our lives. Soberly. Vigilant. Being sober, being vigilant. So, it's for our own protection. Not only is it for our protection, we want to live our lives to the glory of God. We want to show, not that it's for show, but we want to show forth to the world who we really love, who we're following. And didn't Jesus say, if you love me, keep my commandments? So every time we keep the commandments, every time we respond in the right way, every time we act and think in the way we should, in a sense, we're saying, I love you, Lord. And we're showing that. We're to let our light shine. We're to be salt. We're to have a good influence. We're to have a preserving influence. We're to let the light that's been shined in our heart, we're to shine it forth to others for the glory of God. So when we think about from this perspective, that we want to be sober, we want to be vigilant, we want to be mindful of the fact that we do have an adversary, and it's the devil. And now he's got power. You know, read the book of Job. If you haven't read it lately, read it again. See what the Lord allowed what the Lord allowed Satan to do to his faithful servant, Job. The scripture says that Job, I mean, he was a perfect man. I'm far from that. And yet, the Lord allowed those things to come into Job's life. Don't you know that it would be possible for us? And so we need the Lord. We need to realize we do have an adversary. And he hasn't changed his tactics one bit. And he has power in this world. He has power. And so we need the help of the Lord every step of the way, so that our life could be to show forth the love and the praises of him that's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. That we could be salt and light here in this life. We've talked about that a number of times here lately. to remember. So if we're thinking clearly, like we should, we're going to be remembering all that the Lord has done for us. we're going to be remembering all that he is. Because when we're thinking along those lines, then like that song we sang tonight, number 25, grace like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. When we're remembering the goodness and the mercy that God has bestowed upon us, certainly it's grace, isn't it? Because we didn't deserve any of it. How good God has been to us. How could we not walk in a way that honors his holy name? You know, we got that old conflict, but we need to be, that's where the vigilance comes in. That's where the clear thinking comes in. Thinking like we should. Responding like we should. It's so easy for this old flesh to rear its ugly head in our lives. Especially when we're not vigilant and we're not thinking like we should and something happens. It's just so easy for that flesh to pop out, isn't it? But bless your hearts. When we're thinking like we should. You know, we get up every morning, we should be saying, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen today, but you do. And I need your help. What was that little story? I think one time there was a man that said, Lord, was praying to the Lord, said, Lord, I've done pretty good today. I haven't said anything bad about anybody. I haven't transgressed your law or anything like that, but I've got to get out of bed now, and I'm going to need your help. That's about the way it is, isn't it? We need him every step of the way. But oh, when we can remember his goodness and mercy. Remember, he's our shepherd. You talk about vigilance. You just stop and think about how he's watching over us. I mean, Peter had already said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. How much does he care? You can't measure that. How long has he cared? You can't measure that either. Because he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Made himself known unto us here in this life. Nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. He cared for us before we had our being. He loves us. He watches over us. Now that doesn't mean that bad things don't happen to good people. But what it means is we can always trust God. We can always look to him for the things that we stand in need of. How wonderful to know that the Lord is my shepherd. You know, there's a reason, plenty of reasons why. That's a favorite chapter, Psalm 23. There are plenty of reasons why that's a favorite chapter to so many. The Lord. If we know the Lord, if we know who he is, his power, his glory, his love, his mercy, his goodness. If we know the Lord, to know that he is our shepherd, then we know we shall not want. That helps me to remember how I need to be living my life out of thanksgiving and gratitude to the Lord that loves us, the Lord Jesus who loved us and gave himself for us. We think about all that he is to us. Not only is our shepherd, he's our savior. A lot of things this time of the year have said about the Lord being our Savior. I love that subject, don't you? I mean, I love the birth of Christ, but I love to think about not only the birth of Christ, but I love to think about he was born a Savior. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And Simeon took him up in his arms. Oh, do you remember that?
Yeah.
The Lord had promised that faithful servant that he would not see death till he had seen the Lord's Christ. What a blessing when that servant was able to take his Savior in his own arms. You know, that when that babe was laid in the manger, he was Savior then. He was born the Savior. And Simeon was able to look at him. I can't imagine the thoughts that must have flooded his mind. But the joy in his heart. Say, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And there was a lot that had to transpire from that time until the time that Jesus went to the cross. But it was sure and steadfast. It was as good as done. Simeon was able to see, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And he's our salvation tonight. He'll be our salvation tomorrow. As long as this world stands and into heaven's pure world and all eternity, we'll praise and adore the one that loved us and gave himself for us, our Savior. Aren't you thankful tonight that we're blessed to understand the truth of the gospel? Now, that's a broad statement, but my thoughts particularly are dealing with the fact that he was born our Savior. He came to this earth knowing who were his. He died for them and saved them from their sins. And none shall be lost. I'm thankful tonight that we don't believe that we've got to get the word to some more of that could be God's children. We're blessed to know the truth of who he is, the purpose of God, what he accomplished on the cross, and what it meant when he said, "It is finished." We can rejoice in that. Now I remember, when I'm thinking clearly of what he's done for us and what he's blessed us to know about him, bless your heart, it helps me to be sober-minded. It helps me to be more vigilant as I think about all that he's done for us. Not only is our Savior, not only are we safe in him eternally, but bless your hearts, we have his fellowship each day. Each day. We awake in the morning. We awake at night. Maybe you're laying there on your bed and maybe it's just you and the Lord. That's a wonderful place to be. You know, it's one thing to be tossing and turning, trying to get some sleep. But it's another just to realize that here's an opportunity for you to just spend some time with the Lord. And he's with us at all times. Scripture says he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The Lord is that friend. You know, I like, as a matter of habit, I like to get up in the morning and very, very early in my day, I like to spend some time in prayer. Now, that doesn't mean that's the only time you can pray. We ought to be praying without ceasing. Pray all day long. But I also like the illustration that, you know, if you're, you know, comparing our day to like a concert. Lots of things are going to be happening. Wouldn't you want to tune up the instrument before the concert? Before you have to get out there and perform for the day? Our heart needs to be tuned with prayer as we begin our day. And then, take the Lord with you. Don't leave him home. Don't forget about it. Take him with you. Walk with him. talk with him. Enjoy life with the Lord each day. He's a very present help in need, right? Matter of fact, as we've said many times, he's more present. He's a very present. He's present help in trouble, yeah. Scripture says. He's more present than our trouble is. He was with us before the trouble came. He'll be with us after the trouble. What a blessing. What a blessing that it helps us to think like we should when we keep these things in mind. Now, as long as God loves us, these things will remain so. Well, that ought to be a comforting thought, isn't it? As long as he loves us, well, nothing can separate us from his love. Because of the merit of his Son, for Jesus' sake, bless your hearts, we can come to God and cry to him for his help. As long as he loves us, we're secure in his salvation. As long as God is faithful to his word, these things will be so. I tell you, there's so much for us to think about and thank the Lord for that he's blessed us to know, to help us to be thinking clearly and to remind us to be vigilant in our service to him. Now let's think about what we have in these closing admonitions that Peter gives us, how he tells us to be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. I wonder how often, I made the statement a while ago, let's don't discount the danger. How often do we not really consider him as something to be, let me put this in the right way, but something to be feared? I understand, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And we're to resist him steadfast in the faith. That is, trusting in the power of the Lord, not our own. But we need to regard Satan for what he is. He's a formidable foe. He's an adversary who can devour you. So we need to be mindful of that. We need to be respectful of that. We need to realize how much we need the Lord. Thinking clearly, soberly, realizing we have an adversary. And he is vigilant. He's ever on the job. And so we need to remember who that is. So as we think about what this is teaching us, these principles, or this general idea, is thought given to us in a number of places in the scriptures. How about Hebrews chapter 2? Hebrews chapter 2, he says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we let them slip. Isn't that what we're talking about? Not thinking clearly, not being vigilant, and allowing things to happen in a way that could have been better if we'd have been more vigilant in our actions and more clear in our thinking. So we're told to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. How about what Peter said on the day of Pentecost? Save yourselves from this untoward generation. My goodness. We understand that's a practical admonition. We understand when he said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. generation. There's a generation in that day. There's a generation in our day. They're not thinking like they should. They're not serving the Lord. And they want us to run with them. And they want to be the ones that's running this world, by the way. Save yourselves. How do you do that? By reading this word, prayer, looking to the Lord, asking for wisdom, asking for guidance. We need the Lord every step of the way to save ourselves from this untoward generation. Or if you go over to 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul was giving us the greatest lesson we have on the resurrection, but he begins that chapter. It says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel. So it's the gospel that we need to help us to think clearly, right? I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached to you, which also you've received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. Keeping these things in memory saves us from thinking other things, from being led astray, the things of this world. So how we need to save ourselves, or staying with that idea of saving ourselves, Philippians chapter 2, where Paul writes to the church at Philippi, and he says, wherefore as you have obeyed, not in my absence only, but now, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Work out your own salvation. There's plenty for us to do, isn't there? To save ourselves from this untoward generation. To remember these things so that it will save us from the ungodly influences of this world. Later in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul would say, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Be not deceived. Be sober. Be vigilant. Evil communications. Now, I understand that word communications there has reference to companions. And it certainly is true that running with the wrong crowd will get you in trouble, won't it? Every time. But that, in defense of the King James, those communications, yes, it's companions, but it's what they want, what they influence you to think and what they influence you to do. We don't want that. We need to save ourselves from those ungodly influences. We need to save ourselves from that, the ungodliness of those who are not thinking like they should and not doing the things that are pleasing to the Lord. And so in various ways, this same principle just shines through in the scriptures. In the book of Deuteronomy, this principle is just repeated over and over and over, warning after warning after warning. As Moses is writing to that second generation, giving that second reading of the law to this generation of those who saw their parents die in the wilderness, those who will come in and inherit the land. Time and time again, they're warned not to trust themselves. Remember the Lord. Observe to do all that he commands us. Isn't that simple? It'd be wonderful to know just how many times that principle is echoed throughout the scriptures. Because over and over, God's telling us, I've told you what's right. Remember it. It'll be good for you. Peter, in 2 Peter, he goes through seven things that we're to add to our faith. And he goes later on, he says, "And if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of God. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." He also says, "But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten." That's a problem, isn't it? When we're not thinking like we should, and we forget that we were purged from our old sins. But if we could remember God's goodness and mercy, if we could remember all that he's done for us, if we can remember our security in him, if we can remember the word, the promises, the faithfulness, the mercy, the grace of God, it will help us to be thinking like we should. Paul writing to Titus, when he says in 2 Titus chapter 2, he says, verse 11, I guess it is, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us." So if we remember these things, it'll save us. "Teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Over and over and over throughout the scriptures, he reminds us of this principle, to remember what he's taught us, to remember the words of God's promise, of his instruction, that it will save us. Now, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation, we know that salvation was brought through our Lord Jesus Christ. But when we remember it, it helps to save us. Every time we bring it to remembrance, every time we follow it, every time we rejoice in it, every time we're thanking God for it, it saves us from the ungodly influences of this world. So he goes on to say, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior. That's something else that saves us, isn't it? And whatever this world gets to be, and I think so often, I don't know how many times I've thought about it in the last year or so, but my daddy used to say, "I don't know what this world's coming to." If he was alive, he's been gone for quite a while. If he was alive today, he'd be saying it over and over and over. Well, we do know what this world's coming to. It's going to burn up. It's going to melt with fervent heat. God's people are going to be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Then he's going to take care of all this other. I bless your hearts when we think about looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I'm thankful that he appears to us in many ways, many times. He comes to us in our need. He comes to us in our distress. He comes to us in many ways. But bless your hearts, we're looking for that bodily appearing someday when he'll come back to gather up his people and take us home to be with him. And when I can remember that, it helps me, it saves me from a lot of discouragement in this world. There's just a lot of things we wish were different nowadays. And I can't change it. You can't change it. God can, but he hasn't chosen to. And so we trust in him. We submit ourselves to his holiness, his goodness, his power. Just wait on the Lord. But as we think about Peter, in closing out this first epistle, obviously by the inspiration of the Spirit, but he says, be sober, be vigilant. So as we go through our day and we meet with these frustrations, and as we are reminded of the suffering that so many of our loved ones are going through, and all the things that's happening in the world today, when we're thinking like we should, we can realize God's on his throne. Nothing escapes his watchful eye. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. And we can cast all our care upon him, for he careth for you. He really does. And the more we remember that, and the more we trust that, the more clearly we can be thinking, and the more vigilant, the more proactive we can be in laying hold on eternal life and serving the Lord as we should. Be a bright light and a good example to those around about us. That's the way we can bring glory to his name and be a help to those in this life. So in this practical admonition, there's just so much teaching here that just has so many implications of what the quality of our life can be if we're thinking like we should and if we're doing according to that thinking in a way that brings glory and honor to his matchless name. May the Lord bless you is our prayer.
Anybody have any comments?